I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the Fall Creek Business Collective's block party. We'll talk about what it involves and how you can go. We'll hear from one of the newest business owners in the area, former Indiana Fever superstar Tamika Catchings, and we'll chat with guests Tease Me Cafe manager Joy DeFrance, Aaron Rambo, taproom manager of the new Mashcraft on Delaware location, and Stephen Meyer, executive director of King Park Development Corporation. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, Facebook is No Limits WFYI, Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the Fall Creek Business Collective's block party that is tomorrow evening. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Here with me in the studio are my guests, Tease Me Cafe manager Joy DeFrance, Aaron Rambo, who is taproom manager of the new Mashcraft on Delaware location, and Stephen Meyer, who's executive director of King Park Development Corporation. We're also going to have a short visit courtesy of WFYI's own Lee Dinoon, with one of the newest business owners in the area, former Indiana Fever superstar Tamika Catchings, who is the owner of the Tease Me Cafe. But first, I'd like to welcome my guest here in the studio to the program. It's good to have you all here.
Good to be here, John. Thank you.
And Lee, I think you are with us as well. Could you talk with us a little bit about the circumstances that allowed you to catch up with Tamika Catchings?
Absolutely, John. Thanks for having me.
Certainly.
I was able to talk with Tamika on Monday afternoon because the Pacers Sports and Entertainment had made her available for interviews, knowing that her jersey is going to rise to the top of the stadium this Saturday. So I got to sit down with Tamika at Tease Me, which is at 140 East 22nd Street, and we had this conversation.
We'll listen to that interview now. Thanks very much, Lee.
First of all, tell me where we are.
We are in the lovely Tease Me Cafe Indy.
And this is for you?
It's cool to be here because I recently purchased it from the previous owners, Wayne and Stacey Ashford. And, you know, it's a place that I've been coming for the last 10 years and love tea. We grew up drinking tea with my mom, and so, you know, to be able to come in and have this place now my own, pretty cool. It's pretty amazing, but, yeah, we're here.
What's your favorite tea?
My favorite tea is a tropical cyclone, and my favorite two sandwiches, depends if I want meat or not, that day. I do the David, which is the grilled cheese with pesto, or I do the chicken sandwich, which is basically the David with chicken.
How is retirement?
Retirement is great. You know, things are going well. Obviously, being able to be here and have the tea shop, but then my foundation and all the great things that we have going on with that. And my role with Pacers Sports and Entertainment has been super fun, just being able to be around the team and, you know, continue to have a strong influence there and a strong impact on our players.
So you started your job already then?
Yes. Okay. I started it. I've been in it for about a month now, you know, maybe a little bit more, but, you know, just continuing to get out and be a part of, you know, just trying to help our players figure out what they want to do. Life after basketball, we say, you know, when you grow up.
Tell me about a little bit more about what your job is. Do you have an office? Do you go in every day?
I go in, so I do. I go downtown. I go to Bankers Life pretty much every day, you know, especially when the team is in town. When the team's out of town, sometimes I have so many other things going on around the city with the foundation and the tea shop that I might not get in. But nonetheless, I try to be around as much as I can. I go to practices and all that. My main job and the thing that I that I wanted to focus on were really helping our players figure out while they're playing what they're passionate about. Because for a lot of us, you know, we grow up and it's just like you're always striving to be the best basketball player that you can be, that you just, you're so streamlined, your focus is so streamlined to basketball. But what happened after that? You know, what happened when the ball stopped bouncing and you're trying to figure out, you know, trying to go get a job, and the only experience you have is being in the gym? Some people don't necessarily transform that to actual job skills.
How do you help people figure that out, though?
Got to put them in different situations, you know, and a lot of it is we have to do, you know, we're mandated by the league and, you know, through the team, we do a certain amount of appearances and we get out, we do speaking engagements, we do basketball camps, we do adopt a pet night. I mean, we have a lot of different events that we have. And, you know, I speak for myself. There are some events that I was asked to be a part of and I'm like, okay, that doesn't necessarily fit me, but I'll do it because this is what the team has asked me to do. And so, you know, my hope and my prayer is that, you know, I'll be able to help them through some of the different things and exposing them to different things that they'll be like, you know what, I'm interested in learning more about that. I think that's something that I would want to do one day. And, you know, really kind of connecting them and finding the resources that can help them.
This is a good fit for you.
Definitely a good fit. I love it. I love every single day. It's different. And, you know, being able, even for me, I get to meet now through, you know, some of the things that our players want to do. I get to be around and say, you know what, I never thought I would want to do that, but that's actually pretty cool.
How old were you when you decided you were going to play in the NBA?
I was in seventh grade when I decided I was going to be in the NBA, follow my dad's footsteps. And then, of course, the W came my freshman year in college. And so really just kind of being in a position to say, you know what, I want to be in the NBA. Now I want to be in the WNBA. And my goal changed, but still the discipline and the routine and everything that I had already established to get to that level, to reach my goal, you know, it never changed.
Talk to me a little bit about that. You're in seventh grade and you want to be in the NBA. And how do you make that happen? What do you do personally?
Well, it starts with a goal and really kind of knowing what I wanted to be and the things that I wanted to accomplish. And then from there, you know, really every single day, like my routine, whether, you know, during basketball season or outside of basketball season, like every single day, the focus, the goal was always the same. And so that was something that I always, like, you know, I strived for and pushed for that. And then during the summertime, you know, almost the same thing, waking up early, getting to the basketball court, wanting to be outside, wanting to practice, and wanting to be the best that I could be.
You had some tough times as a kid overcoming some difficulties with your hearing and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And just wanting to fit in, you know, wanting to be normal and setting goals and knowing that there were things that I wanted to accomplish, but trying to figure out ways to get there.
Is that something that you help kids understand with your foundation work?
Having dreams and goal setting is a big part of what we do and pretty much every single thing that we do. We focus on fitness, literacy, and mentoring. Those are our main three buckets. But there's always that underlying goal of setting goals. Because if you don't have goals and you don't write them down, then how do you know what a goal is? Because it's like one day, you know, I could be like, oh, I want to be a basketball player. But if I don't have it written down and I don't actually look at it, then next week I might say, oh, you know what, I want to be a teacher. And then the next week after, you know what, I want to be a police officer. You know, and it's like, okay, you keep bouncing on three different things. And not to say you can't do all three of them, but to be able to focus, and that's something like my focus has always been laser sharp as far as like this is what I want to do, this is what I want to be, and going after it.
What are your goals now?
My goal now is to be successful in the role that I'm at with Pacers Sports and Entertainment and, you know, really being able to impact our players. You ask the question, how do you know you're doing that? And that's the thing, like right now they're still playing. And so they're still so into, like, okay, I got to play, I got to focus on practice and the games, and I don't really have time to focus on all the other stuff. But we talked to so many, like, I've already talked to a lot of my older teammates, too. You know, don't you wish that you would have thought about what you were going to do? Yes, hand down, like, all of them, like, I just wish that we would have had somebody that would even have told me that this is going to end at some point and I need to start preparing now for my future.
You said you're enjoying retirement.
Yeah.
How's the transition? What's that entail?
Well, the transition for me has been, you know, quite different. Basically, you know, the season ended and I was like, okay, I don't want to think about a job. I don't want to think about what's next until after January 2017. And so, you know, like my, I literally from the time the season ended to where, what, January, I just did speaking engagements and hung out with my family, you know, traveled a little bit, did some other like cool thing. But then it's like, okay, February really was like, all right, now what am I going to really do? Like with the rest of my life? And, you know, talking to Kelly Koskoff with the Fever and Rick Fusion and Peter Dinwiddie, you know, with the Pacers and trying to figure like what is going to be next. And when that they bought up the position and kind of figured out the thing that I was passionate about and what I thought like I wanted to add, they were like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. So here we are.
So when you were young and you dreamed of being in the NBA, did you ever dream about or think about having your jersey retired?
Never. And I can't even really remember as a youngster if I ever went to a retirement ceremony to even think about that ever being me. You know, of course, you know, you fast forward to Tennessee and having my jersey retired at Tennessee and just how cool that night was. But there was still basketball after that. And so it was like, oh, yeah, it's cool to go back and get your jersey retired, but I'm still playing now. I'm playing now. I'm a professional. You know, and so I think, like, this will be, it'll be bittersweet from the standpoint of, God, like, this is it. Yeah, this is it.
Tell me a little bit about what's happening here the night before.
Yeah, so we have a lot. We've actually made it like hashtag 24 Forever weekend. And every year already we do, we'd always do an exclusive fundraiser as part of the Fever, like go to the game, then we'd have a post-game party. But this year, now that we have the tea shop, we're going to do a block party. So the day will actually start with us doing a clinic over on the east side through our foundation. And that's part of the legacy tour that we started last year. This is phase two of the Legacy Tour. So we'll start with the clinic there, and then we always on the 24th of every month, for the most part, unless it's a weekend, which 24th is on Saturday. So on the 23rd, we'll have an event over at Riley's Hospital, which the Indianapolis Indians will be there, and they'll be doing their part there. And then we'll kick off with the block party here, and then the game, the retirement ceremony, and then the fundraiser will be post-game Saturday. So we got a lot going on.
Is there, of all your accomplishments, do you have a favorite?
Well, I'd say I have two. Winning a championship, of course, is one of my favorites. And then the foundation and being able to impact live through the foundation would be my second one. You know, just I knew the basketball would stop at some point. But being able to change people's lives is something that we all can do no matter what level we're in.
That was WFYI's Lee Dinoon talking with Tamika Catchings, who is a former Indiana Fever superstar and one of the latest business owners in the Fall Creek Business Collective areas of operation. Fall Creek Business Collective has a block party that is tomorrow evening. That's part of the events that Tamika Catchings just talked about. Stephen Meyer, who's one of my guests, could you talk a little bit about what it means, in effect, to have a celebrity now operating in your area?
Well, Tamika is definitely a wonderful addition to the neighborhood. When a neighborhood like Fall Creek Place is recognized for having great destinations like Tease Me and Shoe Fly and Goose the Market for a long time, it's great that someone like Tamika can come in and raise the profile of the neighborhood.
And I should point out that one of my other guests in here, Joy DeFrance, who is the manager of Tease Me Cafe, is wearing a T-shirt that labels her a teasing expert. But you probably ought to explain the play on words here.
Well, Tease Me just has a wonderful play on words with the teasing expert. So that's something that we are. When you come into the cafe, we have a lot of tea selections that you can choose from. And we like to know that we are the experts when you come in so we can answer questions that you have about teas, origins, their origins and such. And then we will tease you, too, just in case.
And we are going to talk, Aaron Rambo, more about the block party when we come back from the break. But what's it like, real quickly, being part of that community?
Well, that's awesome to be obviously a part of a business in that community. And from a personal standpoint, I've actually lived in the neighborhood two blocks away for the last almost 10 years. So
So you never leave.
I never leave. I got to walk to work and talk about beer, which is just a really rough life.
Sounds tough. Well, we are talking about the Fall Creek Business Collective's block party tomorrow evening. My guests are Tease Me Cafe Manager Joy DeFrance, Aaron Rambo, Taproom Manager of the new Mashcraft on Delaware location, Stephen Meyer, who's Executive Director of King Park Development Corporation. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the Fall Creek Business Collective's block party that is tomorrow evening. My guests are Tease Me Cafe manager Joy DeFrance. We talked to her boss, the former Indiana Fever superstar Tamika Catchings, in our last segment. Aaron Rambo, who is taproom manager of the new Mashcraft on Delaware location, and Stephen Meyer, who's executive director of King Park Development Corporation. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. So, Stephen, talk to me about what the block party is, what's involved.
Well, the block party will bring together all of the businesses that have been active in the Fall Creek Place area for a number of years, with the new additions that have joined the neighborhood in the last couple of months. So we're excited that we are able to celebrate all of the vibrant activity that's in the neighborhood, not only with the businesses, but with the neighbors and the city at large.
And how many businesses are we talking about here?
Oh, there are probably about 10 or 12 that are involved, and we'll probably have more that show up than just the ones that are listed on the flyers.
So, Aaron, talk with me a little bit about what this night means for you and your business.
Well, I mean, obviously it's an exciting opportunity to engage the community that we're in. That's one of our goals since opening has been to get as involved as we could. They've had things like neighborhood cleanups that we've taken a big team for, and just trying to be involved and be there and be present. Was one of our goals moving into the neighborhood was to be an active participant. So to be a part of this block party is really going to be an awesome thing visually for us, but just to have fun with the neighborhood as well.
Joy, same question. What does it mean for your business?
We're so excited. This is the big welcome of Tamika to the neighborhood as well. Tease Me Cafe has been there for 11 years, but now that Tamika's the owner, we're able to add that into the neighborhood, and so excited to be able to also have the other businesses too that have been part of the planning. There's been a lot of great planning around it, and we just want to have fun. It's a great weekend. Tamika's jersey will be retired, so it's going to mean a lot to us.
So walk me through, what does this block party look like? I mean, if I want to come to it, what am I going to see? What am I going to experience? Stephen, I'll start with you.
So if you're familiar with the intersection of 22nd and Talbot, which is where Shoofly and Tease Me are located, we're going to actually close down that section of Talbot Street and have booths set up in the parking lots behind Tease Me and Shoofly. And we'll have Mashcraft and Goose the Market and Shoofly out there with Tease Me with different offerings. And then some of the other businesses, but not just food and beer, but the other businesses in the area like City Yoga and Salon Orange Moon will be out there, Renew Dental. And just so you can learn more about the businesses that are located in the area, but also get to know the owners of the businesses, because many of them live in the neighborhoods.
Is there a cost to attend?
No, Stephen? It is free.
So you can just drop in, and what are the hours then?
So we'll start at 5, and it'll go till about 10 o'clock.
Okay. So about a five-hour period. And are there, you know, like if I go to Joy's booth, for example, I'm assuming you're not offering the tea for free, that there's a cost to...
Right. The tea, we'll have the restaurant open so you can come into the cafe and get some tea. And we'll have some of the samples out so you can try some of our favorite teas iced out like in the parking lot. But definitely want you to come in and get some tea and some of our food as well.
So which ones are you going to have out front?
We'll have Tamika's favorite, the Tropical Cyclone. Okay. And then we'll also have, which is a green tea, and then we'll also have Champagne Raspberry, which is one of our white teas.
Okay. Aaron, what are you going to have out there to entice people?
Yeah, we're going to have a couple different types of beer out there. I'm actually, Last Light, our Blood Orange IPA, is one of our top sellers, so I know that's one of them. And then we've got a special surprise beer that we're going to be serving as well.
Oh, and you're not going to tease us?
No, absolutely, give us a general
idea and well, let us know?
And just actually to throw in, we're not the only people that'll have beer out there. Central State Brewing, they run the Kohl's Ship tasting room up the street, is going to be part of that as well. So all of us will have a little bit of beer variety for you.
Where did the idea for this come from, Stephen?
So Tamika reached out to me about 3 months ago through a colleague to introduce herself. She had just purchased Tease Me, and she wanted to get more involved. And so we met, and she asked if I could introduce her to some of the other business owners in the area, and I obviously was happy to do that. So we all met at Tease Me one morning at pretty early, 9 o'clock, and the discussion just went from there that I think that very meeting that everybody decided to create an association and to have an event. And Tamika pointed out that her jersey was going to be retired in a couple of months, and it would be a good opportunity to have an event around that.
So what is the Fall Creek Business Collective?
So it is a group of the businesses that are located in Fall Creek Place. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of them that are located on 22nd Street or Delaware or Central. A lot of them that you're familiar with, places like Shoefly and Goose the Market that a lot of people have been to, but a lot of new ones as well. So Mashcraft, Kohlship, and Renew Dental Arts, which is in the new Delaware building. And so there's just a lot of vibrancy in the neighborhood now, and it seemed like a good opportunity to bring all of these business owners together.
Aaron, what is the benefit of belonging to the collective?
I mean, the benefit, obviously, being involved with the community, but mm-hmm. One of our biggest goals, I think, we've talked about is trying to create a persona around Fall Creek Place, trying to create something, a destination where people could come, not just to come to one place, a place where you can actually come and spend an evening, where you could come and have a beer at one place, beer at another place, go have dinner at Shoefly, maybe go get a tooth pulled. I don't know. but where you can actually spend...
Depends upon how the night goes.
Exactly.
Yes, right.
Enough beers, you might have a tooth pulled.
Yeah.
Just where you can go and actually spend some time and look at it as an entire evening or an afternoon destination, and that's kind of what one of our goals, to bring this kind of vibrancy to the neighborhood and this persona.
How about you, Joy? What do you see as the benefit of being part of a collective?
Oh, I think it's an amazing experience. I mean, I've haven't been really involved with, like, the planning for the block party, but definitely being able to bring the businesses together. I've just seen how people have come. We've sort of started to support each other's businesses, which is amazing. I think that will help with just bring the neighborhood together. And so really excited about how people will now know all the different businesses, and then we'll be able to come together. And I think that it'll help out the neighborhood, too.
We are talking about the Fall Creek Business Collective's block party, which is tomorrow evening from 5 to 10. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. So what are the goals of the Fall Creek Business Collective? I mean, what do you accomplish out of, because obviously anytime you start something or you join something, it is an investment of time and energy, among other things. You know, we've got business people around the table. Generally, when you invest, you want some sort of return. What are the goals, the things that you hope to achieve out of this? I'm going to start with Joy first on that one.
Well, I think that we have such a great neighborhood. I mean, there's customers that come into Teasing Me I Can Speak Of that I say, hey, neighbor, just because they come in, they really like being able to have that location to come in and support a business in the neighborhood. And then our goal is to make sure that we're there to sustain our business, and we help each other out. So they're in the neighborhood and we're in the neighborhood, and we're able to just be there for each other as great businesses with great food and great and fun times like we'll have tomorrow. So,
Aaron.
Well, I mean, obviously there's a profit goal there. We all have a profit goal, but that's a collective thing. That's you help us, we help you. The neighborhood helps us. You know, as each business grows and looks better, and performs at a higher rate, I think the neighborhood embraces it, and that's good for everybody. And personally, you know, living in the neighborhood for such a long time, I've seen so much change and growth in the neighborhood itself. I mean, there was maybe one thing open when I first moved in, and now there's a dozen. And that, I think, is one of the goals of each business, is to continue that trend, continue that motion, that forward positive motion.
So you don't see the other businesses then in the area as competitors?
Oh, no.
As not much at all. As collaborators?
I mean, and even the Coalship and the Central State guys up the street, you know, they're doing beer as well. But, you know, in the beer world, there are so many factors that change a beer. One IPA here is not the same as the IPA next door. And it's really not a competition between breweries. I mean, there's over 30 craft breweries in Indianapolis, and I think that they all work with each other and get along. We collaborate with a lot of people around town, and our brewer, Andrew Kastner, is very much in that circle. And they're all friends with each other, and they're all excited about what the next guy is doing. So I don't see that as a competition at all. But even between businesses just in our neighborhood, it's we all support each other. And that was happening even before the collective started. So...
So in some ways, the collective is a product of that spirit of collaboration that was already in place. Stephen, Aaron mentions the fact that, you know, when he first moved in, how long ago, Aaron, did you move into the area? Was it?
It's been almost 10 years.
10 years. 10 years ago, there was like one business there, and now there are more than a dozen. What's accounted for that growth?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that that are driving that. The housing market is very strong in the neighborhood, and as people have come to learn about the neighborhood and the businesses that are located there and the opportunities that are there and the inclusive nature of the neighborhood, more and more people want to be there, want to come to the neighborhood. And so it's really created a good opportunity for businesses that are looking for a location, and this neighborhood just seems like a good fit for a lot of businesses like Mashcraft that really could have moved anywhere, and they selected Fall Creek Place over a lot of other locations.
Why did you select it? Is it because you live there? Or
is it... I mean, that selection was made actually. Yeah, that selection was made before I was involved.
Okay.
I've been involved with Mashcraft since October of last year, and they opened in the middle of December. But, you know, they made that decision because they were really looking for a community that they could get involved with. Okay. Seriously, our owners were very concerned with, you know, somewhere they could mesh and not just be another business. Somewhere they could be a part of the family, the global neighborhood family. So
in terms of the growth, it sounds like the population growth has had something to do with this. What's brought people to live in the neighborhood? I mean, I'm just curious about those social phenomena. about why people choose to relocate, why neighborhoods that at one time weren't vital become vital, and other places, neighborhoods that were vital, stop being that way. What drew you there in the first place, Aaron, when you moved in 10 years ago?
Even 10 years ago, I think there was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of buzz around the neighborhood, and there were, mm-hmm. you know, between the new construction homes and the revitalization of older homes, that was very exciting to me to be a part of, mm-hmm. to see the streets completely redone and the sidewalks completely redone. And, you know, prior to that, it was had really become a rundown neighborhood, a place where you probably wouldn't even want to drive through. And with the city's involvement and lots of things that I'm sure Stephen can speak to legality-wise, but that's kind of what drew me in, was just the excitement of being a part of something.
What would you say accounted to that sort of revitalization, Stephen?
Well, there was definitely an intentional redevelopment area for this that was led by the city, supported by the federal government. There were lots of banks and other businesses that were involved in turning what was known as Dodge City into mm-hmm. Fall Creek Place. At the beginning, when the houses were being redeveloped, 51% of the new houses that were being put up were specifically for low-income folks, people making 80% of the area median income or below. And so the neighborhood, just in its DNA, has an inclusive nature about it, and it's very welcoming. It's just a very pleasant place to be.
We've gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Lee. If you want to join the conversation via Facebook, you can find us at No Limits WFYI. Lee writes, how long has Joy worked for Tease Me Cafe before Tamika bought it? The owners were going to close it when they moved to Georgia. Was she going to lose her job? How big an area is the Fall Creek neighborhood?
Well, I had only been there for a month before Tamika bought it. So very short amount of time, because the plan, as Lee mentioned, was to close Tease Me. And then I started in January when there was some talk about keeping it open. So just was at the right place at the right time.
And, you know, we're probably ought to ask Stephen the second part of that. How large is the Fall Creek area?
So the Fall Creek neighborhood is bounded by Meridian on the west, College Avenue on the east, on the south by 22nd Street, and on the north by Fall Creek.
Okay, so that's a fairly decent-sized mm-hmm. fairly decent-sized area. And how many, in terms of the businesses, do they tend to be located in one particular part of that area, or you spread all over? Because that's, what, about a 15, 20-square block area, something like that?
That's about right. Actually, no, they're not concentrated in any particular area. There are several on the main corridors, which are 22nd Street, Delaware, Central Avenue, College Avenue. But it really is more like a neighborhood feel, where you have nodes of commercial activity in between other residential activity.
Does most of your business come from people who live in the area right now?
I would say, from a MasterCraft perspective, I would say at least 50% of our business is walk in.
So most of the people who want to be able to walk to the place, Joy.
I would definitely say the same thing. About 50% of the people, of our customers, are right from the area.
We are talking about tomorrow evening's Fall Creek Business Collective Block Party here on No Limits. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how they go about making this area a destination site, since that's the ultimate goal. My guests are Tease Me Cafe manager Joy DeFrance, Aaron Rambo, who is taproom manager of the new MasterCraft on Delaware location, and Stephen Meyer, who is executive director of King Park Development Corporation. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about tomorrow evening's Fall Creek Business Collective Block Party here on No Limits. My guests are Tease Me Cafe manager Joy DeFrance, Aaron Rambo, taproom manager of the new Mashcraft on Delaware location. Those are both businesses in the area. And Stephen Meyer, who is executive director of King Park Development Corporation. So we said earlier in the segment, part of the goal, the overarching goal of the Fall Creek Business Collective is to try to make this area a destination site. I think to use Aaron's description, it's the kind of place where you want people to come, maybe have a beer at one of the breweries, another beer at another one of the places, the microbrews, and then perhaps have a meal, and then, you know, maybe have a tooth fixed or something along the way. Sorry, Aaron, I'm just having a little bit of fun with you. You hear, what are the challenges or obstacles that are in the way of making that vision a reality? What sorts of things do you have to overcome to make that happen? Stephen, I'll start with you.
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that something like the Business Collective doesn't happen overnight. Really, mm-hmm. the redevelopment of Fall Creek Place started in 2001, and mm-hmm. it was really it almost took a decade of concerted effort to get the first businesses to move into the neighborhood, and so it is a long process, and there are lots of obstacles with vacant buildings, and Aaron brought up infrastructure issues that a lot of neighborhoods have problems with, and so you know. I think anybody who is looking at redeveloping a neighborhood and trying to get people excited about a neighborhood, you have to have a really long horizon. So you focus on a 10-year horizon, mm-hmm. not a 2-year horizon.
Joy, what do you see as the challenges of getting it to the point where it is a destination site, where people come and just spend the day?
I think this basically what he was saying, too, just that we have just the change in the dynamics of the neighborhood, and that takes time. And we're here for the long haul in order to support those efforts of it, get the neighborhood getting better, getting the word out to the community that we love to have people come in, spend time, and with every business that's in the neighborhood as well. And we just look for more and more people just to learn about our businesses and come out and join the block party tomorrow.
What's the challenge for you in that regard, Aaron? You know, it's microbreweries are a little different animal, and that people. Once people fall in love with a beer, they will drive a long way to find it. I know that from experience. So what is really the challenge then to making this kind of a destination?
From our individual business, yes, it's with beer, you have to have an ever-changing variety, but you have to have those favorites. So there's kind of the challenge of keeping our house beers in stock well, keeping up with volume, and because we have a main brewery in Greenwood as well. That's mm-hmm. where we started. So we've basically been making beer for two spots, and we're distributed at 50 spots around town. Mm-hmm. So that was an immediate challenge that our brewer had, was, oh my gosh, I've just doubled my volume. From a neighborhood perspective, some of the challenges in making this work and making a destination, it's still urban living, you know, mm-hmm. it's still downtown living. There is sometimes a higher level of crime mm-hmm. in the neighborhood that we have to contend with, both as residents and as business owners and managers. And one of the things that I've seen is just creating that Fall Creek Place as a name. I've mm-hmm. talked to people who say, yeah, we've never heard of Fall Creek Place, or have maybe never even heard of Heron Morton, that say, oh, mm-hmm. Old North Side goes all the way to Fall Creek. And it doesn't. You know, mm-hmm. we have distinctive neighborhoods, and not that we don't love the Old North Side and Heron Morton. There's some fantastic businesses there, too, but we're trying to that's a challenge to overcome, just to get people to know that Fall Creek Place is a thing, you know, is a place that you can go and has its own identity outside of those other two.
What would make it, I mean, we've done several programs, for example, on mass transit and you know, doing things to make Indianapolis seem a more amenable city to walking and to not driving in your car, not having to worry about where you park the car. I see Aaron shaking his head. It's the parking that is actually the challenge, it sounds like, is figuring out. I see Joy shaking her head now, too. So what are the things that would help facilitate that kind of growth? Aaron,
Parking is obviously an issue when we want to bring in people from all over the city. We have a very small parking lot behind us that most people don't realize is there, and street parking. And that's been a challenge with residents as well. There have been residents on Delaware near our business who are not all that happy that they would give up parking spaces in front of their house. So it's been a give and take. It's been a, you know, what can we do to make everybody happy kind of thing. And between that and just, you know, the higher volume of traffic, I know I live on Pennsylvania, which in the morning is pretty much an interstate going south.
Mm-hmm.
So they've, you know, been installing stop signs at certain intersections to try to slow that traffic down because the people don't realize that you're still driving through a residential neighborhood. You're driving 60 miles an hour through a residential neighborhood. So,
Joy?
Well, I see that we're actually getting some parking lots together. Parking will be limited, I think, for a little while. But I see there's some progress that's going on as far as like getting some parking together. We do have Blue Indy cars that are available for people to come and use as well. But
many people use them?
I've seen a couple, but not too often. So that might be something to hopefully that'll be something that'll help. I don't know if there's any plans for a cultural trail because I've seen like other neighborhoods that have been revitalized get those. So
one of the things that is coming hopefully soon would be the addition of the Red Line on Meridian, which would give, you know, a stop a block away from most of these businesses, mm-hmm. a block or two. So that's very exciting.
And would make it easier for people from other areas to come in and out. So with that goal in mind, Stephen, how does the block party fit into that ultimate vision?
Well, the block party will help celebrate all of the different businesses that are in the area. And while you may not on a Friday night think about coming to Fall Creek Place, mm-hmm. Hopefully an event like the block party will help you realize that there are a lot of different things to do on 22nd Street, that mm-hmm. It's worth spending a night going to dinner and then walking down the street, and you can try a couple of different microbreweries and spend a whole evening there. So we're hoping that that not only can we celebrate what the neighborhood's been able to accomplish, but also get the word out about what a great enclave this is.
I'm going to ask a question of each of you, and it's one I often ask with stuff. What constitutes success? I'm going to say first for the block party, but also ultimately for the collective. Your perspectives are maybe slightly different on this, and that's okay. That's why the show's called No Limits. So, Stephen, I'll start with you. What constitutes success for the block party and then for the collective?
Well, I think it's really exciting that this took about 2 months for us to throw together. So we really came together and did a lot of work in a very short period of time because this was driven by Tamika's jersey being retired. So we wanted to make sure that we had an event that was ready to go by that day. So for me, just being able to pull this off in such a short period of time is a success. But, you know, I think we're going to have several hundred people out, and we have two bands that are coming out. So, you know, just people having a good time is a success for me.
How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, on that same level, and just word of mouth, the spreading of word of mouth, the people that are going to come and have a lot of fun, and the people in the neighborhood that are going to have a lot of fun, that will realize that these businesses are working together. You know, I think that helps everyone when they see that in a very tangible form, that these businesses are working together to do something awesome for our area.
Joy.
I think that just echoing all that they've said, and the fact that, you know, the businesses will have been working together, and that we're here to stay in the neighborhood and able to sustain, you know, the business in the neighborhood. And we love the neighbors and we love the businesses that we're able to surround ourselves with, and really looking forward for people to come out and have a great time tomorrow at the block party.
Long term for the collective, what do you see as success?
I think it's as long as we are continuing to have these types of events to show that we were collaborating, that we're sustaining our businesses in the neighborhood, and that people really see that, and I think that will genuinely come across, and people will support our businesses, and will support the neighbors as well in the things endeavors.
Yeah.
I think two words: long-term success, more businesses. You know, our long-term goal, I would say, is to bring more businesses to the community that can work with us and work with each other.
Stephen, what do you see as long-term?
Oh, I definitely agree with both of them. I think having more events like this and demonstrating that that area businesses can work together, and how important it is to have locally owned businesses and people that are engaged in the neighborhoods around them.
We are talking about tomorrow evening's Fall Creek Business Collective Block Party that is going to be a celebration of local businesses in Fall Creek Place, but also the fact that former Indiana Fever superstar Tamika Catchings is going to have her jersey retired as well. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named William has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. William, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Having been in the city for over 35 years and seen the developments of the Fall Creek Place area, and as well as downtown, and having had some connection with the Department of Metropolitan Development back in the 80s when they were looking at trying to figure out what to do with downtown Indianapolis. And I noticed that certain areas receive attention by certain communities. And I'm wondering what the collective is interested in doing in reaching people that are not necessarily living in that particular area, but maybe on the outlining area of some of the neighborhood associations in that area, to collaborate with them, to market to those areas, and to just try to make that that approach far-reaching, as opposed to just in that specific area where all the business is coming to that area and not going into some of the other areas, maybe, say, over near 30th and Central, or some of the other areas going maybe even further a little east and the Fall Creek area, moving toward Keystone and Columbia, and those areas that have not yet been impacted by the growth that we've seen in that particular area.
Thanks very much for the call and the question. Stephen, I'll throw that one to you first.
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that my organization actually covers those areas mm-hmm. that he's talking about. And so we do directly reach out to residents, not just in Fall Creek Place, but the areas he's talking about are Reagan Park and Friends and Neighbors. So we do talk to them a lot, and we try to engage the residents in all of the things that are happening in any of our neighborhoods. And we are seeing a lot of this activity from Old Northside, Heron Morton, Fall Creek Place, moving eastward. There's a lot of new businesses on 16th Street. We have Festiva and Cannonball Brewing, and Hotel Tango Whiskey is moving to 16th Street. So there are we're seeing this success of Fall Creek Place spread out to the areas around it. So we're very happy about the future of this area.
Are there benefits to working, having these different neighborhoods, you know, historic neighborhoods in the city, similar to the, you know, the model here where the businesses are collaborating, having those neighborhoods collaborate with each other to develop business plans so that, as most people don't think, oh, okay, I've gone south of 22nd Street. I'm in a whole nother place now. you know, it's not really that. I'm still here in Indianapolis, and it's still old and charming.
Yeah, so I completely agree with you. I think that the neighborhoods do have their own identities. It's certainly more apparent to the people that are living in the neighborhoods that you've moved from Fall Creek Place to Heron Morton. But there has been an increased amount of cooperation between all of the neighborhoods in the last few years, and there's definitely a sense that when one of the neighborhoods is doing well, it's going to help the other neighborhoods as well. So a lot of residents from the areas around Fall Creek Place are able to have access to good-paying jobs now that there are more businesses in Fall Creek Place. And, they're a five-minute walk or a five-minute bus ride to some areas where they could get a job or go eat or great schools that are in the area. So I think that that the other areas outside of Fall Creek Place are very happy as well that Fall Creek Place is doing well.
So we're getting close on time here, and we've got this event tomorrow night. So real quickly, Joy, if they come to the block party tomorrow, what are they going to find from Tease Me Cafe?
At Tease Me, we will be the kid-friendly zone, so we'll have games, and we'll be happy to bring in anybody. So, but we definitely will have a lot of games and things like that for kids. Great teas, great food, great atmosphere. So please come in and check us out.
And Aaron, other than a prelude to dental work, what are they going to find at Mashcraft on Delaware?
So we're going to have our last light blood orange IPA, and I'm told I can tell everybody what the new beer is. So,
oh, okay.
The new beer that we're going to release early. It's called Tease. It's a summer lager, so it'll be really cool.
What is it? What does it taste like?
It is a balanced, bready malt character, perfect light for summer hot weather.
Okay, and I'm assuming both places you will be serving food as well, so people can come and drink some beer or some tea and nibble on something and then walk around and see the neighborhood?
Absolutely.
Do they have is there a website or anything like that where they've got information, Stephen? Or
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Andy. It's actually on Facebook. There's a collective for the block party.
Okay.
If you go to any of the Facebook pages for any of the businesses involved, Salon Orange Moon, Mashcraft, Tease Me, any of those places, you'll find it, yes.
Well, that'll have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, Joy DeFrance, Aaron Rambo, and Stephen Meyer, for a lively conversation. Also, WFYI's Lee DeNoon and Indiana Fever superstar Tamika Catchings for bringing us up to date a little earlier. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.